Hey everybody, this is Ernesto Bejarano. I'm the founder of Social Work Mentor, and I want to welcome you back and thank you for listening to episode 4 of the Social Work Coronavirus Update. In today's episode, we're going to be talking specifically about home inspections. And what we're going to really try to touch on is there's a lot of the profession that slowly but surely, with the whole coronavirus challenge that we have in front of us, we're slowly but surely moving towards the ability to do some telework and utilize some of the modern technologies available to us to get our jobs done. But there are instances that call for something a little bit beyond what we are right now mostly doing with video and the technologies that are available to us. Today, we're going to talk specifically about utilizing live streaming to do home inspections. So some of these things can be used that we're going to talk about today in your normal home visit or drop-in visit with a client, but we're really going to get into some of the nitty-gritty nuts and bolts of doing a home inspection and how you utilize live streaming to get that done so that you don't need to expose yourself or your clients to any possible infection of COVID-19. So that being said, let's get into the episode. I hope you enjoy it, and I will talk to you soon. Let's get on with the episode. Hey everybody, welcome back to the podcast. In this episode, we're going to talk a little bit about how to conduct a mandatory home visit during the coronavirus pandemic. And specifically today, we're going to talk about a home inspection. So we know that there's so much changing, so much going on, and different jurisdictions are handling this whole situation very differently around the world in terms of social workers and how we do the things that we do. One of the things that sometimes, obviously, I think at this point, most social work organizations are looking for ways that social workers and practitioners can get their job done either in a mobile way or with video or over the phone or different solutions to try to minimize exposure. However, there are in social work instances where there has to be some kind of face-to-face contact or a visit to a home just to, whether it may be to ensure the safety and well-being of a child or an elderly individual, whatever it may be. But there are instances when this needs to happen. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. When someone needs to go into a home and do a home inspection, or we really need to get an idea of what's going on in a home. So as we all know, during the past few weeks or months, we have all become very familiar with this little tiny thing that's so small and so simple. We call it coronavirus or COVID-19. And that little tiny simple thing has literally changed the world as we know it. Everything from the sports world to entertainment to health to politics and indeed to our world, social work. And so, at least for now, this change has forced us to completely scrap a lot of things that we used to do, or a lot of methods of practice that we used to utilize. And we've had to change almost overnight, as have many other industries and professions. And so we've had to look for new solutions to meet the immediate needs, specifically the need to contact individuals and have some level of, as I mentioned, face-to-face or in-the-home contact in particular situations, and still keep ourselves safe, keep our family safe, and keep our clients safe. And so these are challenges that we've had to meet within like literally a few weeks. And so many of the things that we've done traditionally that, you know, we all have become accustomed to over the years, going into a home, sitting down with a family or an individual, having a chat, you know, shaking hands, whatever it may be, all these things that are just you know, they come with the territory when we're doing social work. Could be group sessions or meeting with a group or of family members in a home. We've done this, you know, day in and day out, many of us, throughout our entire careers. And this has changed again in the blink of an eye. And so specifically, the way that many social workers do home visits or do home inspections has been forced to change. Because as I mentioned, in the reality of today, we need to think about protecting ourselves, protecting our families, and protecting our clients. So literally, over the past several days and weeks, many of us have learned that if we didn't know this already, there's actually a lot that we can accomplish if we utilize a lot of the modern technology that's available. As I mentioned, some of us have dabbled here and there over the years, but often I have found that organizations and agencies have kind of frowned upon some of the technological tools that are out there. And I think there are definitely concerns with confidentiality in the United States with HIPAA. There's legitimate concerns why organizations have been wary of utilizing some of these technologies. However, in the face of the current situation, a lot of these organizations are starting to come around to what's possible utilizing modern technology. And so many people, many of my colleagues, many of our colleagues have kind of very quickly become experts at tools such as Zoom or Skype, FaceTime, Instagram Live, I think it is called, if I'm not mistaken, Google Hangouts. There's so many digital applications that can be used that are out there, and people are slowly but surely getting the hang of those things because, again, we're forced into a situation where we're trying to perform a service, do the things that we need to do as social workers, and still keep ourselves and our clients safe. And so these are some of the things that I've been talking about and posting about on the webpage that I manage. The tool and webpage is called Social Work Mentor. In case you didn't know it, that's the part of the podcast that you're listening to. And over the past several days and weeks, I have been trying to post useful information and suggestions and tools and guides that social workers can use in these times when, frankly, some organizations are not necessarily providing the guidance that practitioners need. And so I've been trying to put together stuff from my own practice and from what others have shared with me in order to help people to try to get through this time and adjust to this new reality. And so if you go to socialworkmentor.com/links, you can connect with the platform and there you can find our Facebook, Instagram, our app, all the different ways for you to connect with us. And specifically, you'll see a link to Social Work Coronavirus Updates. And that's where I'm trying to keep posting new information regarding the social work profession and the impact that the coronavirus is having on what we do. So that all being said, I'm going to move on now to the main content of this podcast today. And so luckily, we know that in the past several weeks, social workers who are going out into the field have been provided without, you know, in almost every instance, these social workers have been provided with complete protection to ensure their own safety as well as that of their clients. Okay, I paused a second there for you to scream at me and take a big frustrating breath, because actually we know that most likely hasn't been true. From everything I've seen and the people that I've talked with, there is some level of truth to this. Some organizations are trying their best to provide social workers with the personal protective equipment. But number one, the resources are limited. And number two, the profession is still trying to catch up, I think. Organizations are trying to figure out how to deal with this. And so many, many social workers are being told and mandated to continue to visit clients, to go do home visits, drop in on clients and all these types of things with really no protection whatsoever. So we're being sent into homes as we, you know, normally are. And a lot of us, unfortunately, over years of doing this, are pretty used to this. We're sent in with a pen and some business cards and maybe a clipboard if you're lucky. And those are the tools that we've had in the past. No matter what dangerous situation we've gone into, that's what we have. And maybe, you know, some quick thinking and some creative problem solving, those were our tools. And those are still the tools that we have, even in the face of coronavirus in too many instances that I've heard about thus far. But luckily, I think organizations are trying to get a hold of this and coming along in terms of providing the ability for social workers to telework, to utilize these technological tools, and to really limit the need or the duration or the frequency of exposure to the public. And as we know, you know, we don't know who is, you know, who may have the coronavirus, who's been exposed. And so we really need to limit all of that stuff. And I think professions are, or agencies and organizations are getting there. We're not quite there yet, but I think we hopefully will be there soon. And so what I'm going to talk about is in these instances when you absolutely must go into a home, and in this podcast, I'm talking about specifically for the purpose of doing a home inspection for whatever purposes you or your organization may need that. That's what I'm going to be covering here. So one of the things that I have found and I've heard colleagues of mine talk about is that a lot of what we typically would do in the home face-to-face can actually be accomplished beforehand with a simple phone call or even a video call. But a lot of the conversation and questions and you know, intake and the beginning stages of a relationship or a conversation can be had without actually being face-to-face. Now, obviously, we understand the dynamics of being present, being physically in front of someone and having that human interaction in that way, and you know, we understand that. But you can actually get a lot of that done, not the same, but you can get it done satisfactorily over the phone or video. So we're coming to learn that. But we also have to remember that there are instances that need some level of face-to-face contact or physical presence in a home. Or we need to have something that bridges that gap between just a kind of a static phone call or a very stationary video call and what we would typically have if we were out visiting a home and seeing with our own eyes what's going on in that home. So what I'm going to talk about now are some suggestions about how you might approach home inspections specifically using video technology. Now, I'm going to talk specifically about home inspections, but a lot of these techniques can be used for just your standard run-of-the-mill home visits or welfare checks or other reasons why you may need to go to a home. But this podcast today is specifically about inspections. So a bit of a disclaimer. Always check with your organization or your agency, if you're going to do something like this, to see what's right for you, for that particular agency or organization, and the populations that you serve. Talk with your manager, talk with your supervisor, run it by colleagues. Make sure that this approach is actually right for you. And if you want to have some more information about home visits, not necessarily as specific to home inspections, you can go to socialworkmentor.com/corona updates. And that's where I've been putting some suggestions about just home visits in general and things you might want to consider before doing that. So if you're going to go in and want to do some level of a home inspection and you actually want to limit actually going out to the home, these are the steps that you can take. So I would suggest, first of all, to call ahead of time to see if the family has access to a device, whether it's a cell phone or a tablet or even a laptop in some cases, something that can stream live video, I emphasize, using apps like Zoom, Google Hangouts, Skype, FaceTime, and others. Now, I emphasize that you will need to utilize a live stream, not a recorded video, but actual live video, so that the video inspection that you're going to do can be interactive. And you really want to make sure that you emphasize this with the client or the family. If they don't have the ability if they don't have a device that can stream live video, then one suggestion might be to explore their support system and see if they, if anyone that they know has a device that could be used for that. If so, maybe they can use it, and you know, just make sure that they properly sanitize that device before and after the live stream that you're going to do, and that might be the solution that you need. Again, you really want to emphasize that you will need this to be a live stream and not just recorded video. So once you have the before you go out and before you have someone do the live stream, you may actually want to have them send you some photo images or panorama shots or even videos, actual recorded videos of the areas of the home that you'll be inspecting. And this, again, you might want to do ahead of time. And that way you can identify some things that you'll want to look at further once you get on the live stream. So, you know, I talked a lot about making sure that they have the ability to do live streaming, but if they can send you some regular recorded videos or images ahead of time, that just may give you a heads up on some things that may be red flags that you may want to check out further during the live stream. So once that live stream has begun, make sure that you have the person hold their phone steadily in front of them and make sure you instruct them to move slowly and to listen for the directions that you'll give them. So you may be telling them, you know, up or down, left, right, move. Can you please move closer to that cabinet, or can you show me the room to the right, or can you open up that drawer? You know, those types of instructions. So they'll really will want to be able to respond to your directions, because this is the, you know, the proxy for you being in the home. So that's why I emphasize the importance of the live stream, because you're going to literally be giving them directions about what you want to see in that live stream. And so you'll do that. You'll do your inspection. You'll have them walk around the areas that you'll want to see. You'll give them specific direction of, things that you want them to show you or move or whatever it is that you need to see to, as best as possible, feel comfortable that the home meets the needs of your inspection in terms of safety and well-being and all the things that you're looking for. And so once you've done that satisfactorily to the best of your ability, then I would suggest that you do end the stream and the live stream and then have a conversation with the client or with the family and just check in with them and see how that process went for them and you know, address any questions or concerns they may have. This is just as unorthodox as this approach is for us. It may be, you know, much more so for the client or the individual, particularly if they're going through a stressful or traumatic time in their life. This is a lot to handle. So it's important that we check in with them on this process and make sure that we do process through anything that may come up for them that is challenging and we need to address. Additionally, I think these post-inspection conversations are helpful because it actually provides you with an opportunity to learn how this approach is kind of landing with a family. How are they receiving this whole process? And what do you need to modify to improve it going forward? So the next time you visit this particular family or the next family, that the process is that much more efficient and, you know, to the extent possible, not as intrusive or awkward for the family. And that's kind of it, in terms of the process of the inspection itself, the live stream inspection. However, I do want to emphasize that this is obviously, I think for most of us, this is not the optimal method that we would want to utilize to do a home inspection or to a home visit or whatever it is that you're doing. Live streaming is not something that we've typically done, and many of us may not think that this is the way it should be done. However, in these historically unusual, challenging times, this may be the best way for us to identify any glaring questions or concerns that we may have about a home or a situation that we're concerned about. This may be the best of all possible solutions. So although it may not be optimal in a crisis situation or in a urgent pressing situation, sometimes you have to do what is best. And this may be the best option that we have at this time. And so the other thing that I also did want to mention too is just about the question of equity. So sometimes it comes up that many of the people that we work with actually do not have access to a device that will allow them to do live stream video or maybe even recorded video. Not everybody has a cell phone or a tablet or some electronic device. And for those people, we may have to, you know, have further discussion with our management, our supervisors. But what I have found is that the time that is saved of doing this with those who do have the ability actually frees up time so that we can then address those who don't. So if we can find the individuals and families that do have the capability to do live stream visits or interviews or whatever it may be, that time and effort that we're saving in doing that process with them allows us to dedicate more time and resources to those who do not have that opportunity, who do not have those resources. And so again, when we're talking about equity, this may not provide the same opportunity to everyone, but again, in this situation, it may be our best option. So all this that I've talked about in this podcast has really been about the coronavirus and you know, its impact on social work as part really of our main current challenge. However, let's fast forward to X amount of time and coronavirus and COVID-19, we've got it handled, whatever amount of time, hopefully that is. We can't forget that we continue to be challenged as a profession with high caseloads, a large workload, and a very challenging job. And in many ways, I believe, and many others in the profession, that a large part of this problem can be attributed to not having a large enough pool of new social workers entering the field. So we have, you know, a shrinking pool of social work students, of social work first or second year professionals that actually stick around and stay in the profession. So the pool of colleagues that we have is not necessarily growing or even maintaining to the level that would allow us to stabilize and decrease our caseloads. And so with that in mind, I've kind of developed this a course that I provide through the website at socialworkmentor.com. And so really what this is about, if you have a budding social worker or someone in your life that you think might make a future social worker, they might be a student right now or maybe a community outreach worker or an advocate, and they really are interested in social work, but they don't quite know enough about the profession to really get a concrete grasp that this is something that they might be able to do and that they might want to do, but they would consider if they had a little more information about social work, about who we are and what we do. So that's why I created this course, Social Work 101. And it basically just covers the basics about or the basics of our profession, from bias to cultural competency, cultural humility, confidentiality, a lot of the basics, but it gives a good solid foundation for someone who may be considering or thinking about getting into social work. And so if you visit socialworkmentor.com/courses and you go there right now, there's a course, there's a full course that I believe is about $48. If you go there now after watching this or listening to this podcast, you can pick it up, the course, the full course. It's called the VIP course on that page. And I think it's $40. So it's a little bit of a discount, but really my point of doing this is to try to get people, either young people or people who are kind of already doing work that's social work adjacent, to really bring them into the field. So in the long run, ideally, we would have a larger pool of social workers, which would in turn help us to lower our caseloads, make our workload more manageable, and really help us to have a better work-life balance. So after coronavirus and all this stuff is solved and we're back to normal, you know, this is a way to address the ongoing challenge that the profession has had. So check that out, socialworkmentor.com/courses. If you want to find out more information about the other stuff, socialworkmentor.com/links. And that is all I have for today. So I will continue to put out information as best as possible regarding the social work profession, social work practice, and the impact that we're having from coronavirus, along with suggestions and tips and tools to help us get through this. Make sure you follow or like or subscribe to this podcast, whatever your platform calls for, because I am putting out fairly regular content at this point. And if it can be helpful to you or some of your colleagues, you can share it with them, and let's really come together and make sure that we support each other in getting through the challenges that we're confronted with now. Because if there's any profession, if there's any group of people on this planet that I think is uniquely prepared to deal with what we have in front of us, I truly believe it is social workers and helping professionals. And so thanks for listening. Take care of yourself. Take care of your families. And if you can, get out there and help somebody else. I will talk to you next time. So that's it for episode 4. I hope you found something useful or something that can be useful to a friend or a colleague. If so, make sure you share this episode and also share our web app at socialworkmentor.com or share the links at socialworkmentor.com/links, where you can find more information about the Social Work Mentor and information updated almost daily about the coronavirus challenge that is confronting the social work profession and what we can do to improve our practice. I hope you listen next time. Thanks for listening this time, and I will talk to you later.